Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. Also available wherever fine podcasts are, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean,
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.com/ Steven Larson.
And very soon on Spotify.
Really?
Did yes.
we get that confirmed?
Well, that was supposed to be
confirmed.
That's supposed to
confirmed?
Be confirmed. That's supposed to be something you did.
Is that supposed to be? Yeah, I know. I was actually planning. I was in the shower today, washing my bits and pieces, and I was thinking to myself, man, I got to email that Spotify guy. That it's my shower time, man. And like all this business about Spotify is interfering with my shower time. That's well, supposed to be my calm.
Well, if you just
area.
Got, if you just got this the Spotify email out of the way, then you could
right?
enjoy your shower time uninterrupted.
Right. We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson, where you can contribute to the show and you can join in on either a monthly or weekly chat live stream and where you can chat. We got 65 people watching right now live as we do this, and they're all interacting in the chat talking about recipes and like I think weird. Sometimes they talk about weird things. Right now they're talking about Thirsty Man. Now they're talking about fun wrestling. They're anxious. Are you guys anxious for fun wrestling tonight? Did you guys
yeah.
watch the debut of Okada last night? New Japan's Okada. Okada showed up, but he's named Bokada in W. Steve W. Popping
yeah.
them ratings. So we're on the Patreon.
Well, hold on. I got to plug fun wrestling. The fun wrestling that's going up tonight
mm-hmm.
might be the greatest match in wrestling history.
Is it? Which one is it again? Is it the long one?
Yes.
Oh. You know what? Not a huge fan of fun wrestling, but yesterday, the match that we put on, man, pretty insane. How long is that match?
About 40 some minutes.
That's
one
a,
match.
It's a very, very long match.
So many near falls.
But man, it is pretty epic. It is it's a star-making performance.
It really is.
It really is.
And then on Friday Night Fights this week, we're going to have both semifinal matches for the tag team tournament.
Mm-hmm. I like it. That's all good. Speaking of fun wrestling and W. Steve W., you can get t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/ going in raw. And we have four quality t-shirts, a W. Steve W., a fun wrestling, a fuck wrestling, and then a regular going in raw. That logo you see at the start of the show, that's on a t-shirt.
Yeah, you can get
that
on
too.
A shirt.
Yeah, I'm not wearing it right now. This suplex wrestling shirt is really, this is comfy shit right here.
Yeah, I like this shirt too.
Not saying that pro wrestling tees aren't comfy. That's from Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not from our shop, though. That would
nope.
be illegal.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways. Speaking of the Patreon, though, I mentioned that earlier on the Raw Recap show. I like to give a shout-out to all the people who open up their wallets or their PayPal accounts and
yes.
Gave us money for the show, and I'm going to do that right now. Let's see here. I like this name. This is from last Tuesday. Cash Hartley, Jeffrey Brugger Jr., M.W., Cabius, William Goble Fairchild. I've heard that name before. Somebody was on the Twitter saying, hey, I'm going to be a 17-time patron. Like they just patron. They stop. Patron, stop.
That's pretty
funny. That's fine. You can do that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Akius Delacroix, Stephen Gaudet, Attack of the 50-Foot Bailey, Aiden Borgeson, the ghost of Larson's pre-cum Naferetti, David Edwards, Heaven's Assassin Xavier Sky. Oh, this says Kevin Scampoli pledged a dollar. Doubtful. Goo Drulak. I like that one. Jeffrey Lankriger. I don't know what that means. Michael Edmondson. WGIYV. I don't know who that is. Jim Hockenberry. Fez Logic. Rick Avila. James Colgan. Eric Aguilar. Collective Future. Shane Murphy. Adam Cowley. Brett Mullins. Tim. Sam Haywood, Chad McCallum, Lindsay Mahe, or Mar, maybe they just left out the R, I don't know, Jagdeep Bindar, Indigo, Leon Watkins, Alberto Del Taco. Delta, get it, Delta, because we love Del Taco. Richard Rivera, Steve Papa, Joseph Brett, Luis Alamon, Tim Guerin, Seth Ferguson, Peter Joseph, pre-cum yay or nay champion Wayne Dorsey, Gary Sponseller, Mark Vassy, and Peyton W. Witt.
Thank you.
So we want to say thank you to everybody out there for putting into the Patreon. Really appreciate it. We should probably talk about some wrestling now, Larson.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking 10 minutes and not talked about Raw.
Somebody in the comments always drops a little time code. This is when they start talking. This is when they start plugging their shit. What are these people plugging their shit for? Anyways, why am I on the New Japan notes?
I have no idea.
There we go. Now I'm on Raw. Yeah, okay. It's okay. So here's the thing. I'm going to preface all this by saying this. Raw, I thought, was a very good show last night. I have to take my own state of being out of the equation a bit.
Yeah, you kind of have to, because last night I got home from your place.
This sounds like the most depressing story.
No, it's not. No, I mean,
last night.
Yeah. And then I had to do some work, so I didn't get started watching Raw till late.
Yeah.
And then so in my mind, I was thinking, well, this isn't going to be over till 11:30 at the latest. Yeah. So I got to start, you know, like, fast forward through maybe a couple segments, so I'm not up forever.
Yeah.
And so it's just not a good mindset to sit and enjoy a wrestling show.
Because I started watching it
uninterrupted.
No, so I watched it. I watched the majority of it last night. And I was like, I was just tired. Like, we watched a lot of wrestling this week.
Yes.
Like, when New Japan has a show, like, that number one, watching a New Japan show is emotionally exhausting anyways.
Yeah.
And then number two, you had Elimination Chamber, which then is like, oh, man, I got to sit through this after watching Naito Elgin.
That's,
you
know, 7 hours of wrestling.
Exactly. And, like, you're watching the best of it beforehand, and then you watch Elimination Chamber. And it's like, God bless the WWE, but New Japan is, like, putting on some really good stuff right now. And so it's not the greatest. And then, we had, like, a long work day yesterday. You know, we're going to LA this weekend for PWG, and so we're trying to front load a lot of our work. Mm-hmm. That's just what's going on right now.
Yeah.
And so then to get in and, you know, sit down, all right, Raw. Oh, look, it's coming out. Roman Reigns, he's going to take on the club and beat them. Oh, that's awesome.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It's a really bad way to start a show.
That was, I'll say this. Besides that, there was a lot of really good stuff on Raw last night.
There was a lot of fun stuff on the show, I'll agree.
Because I got some decent sleep last night, and then I woke up today, I was like, let me go ahead and watch some of this stuff again. And so I popped it back on, I was like, man, some of this stuff is really good. There were at least two pay-per-view level matches last night. I thought that the main event and Sami Rusev, I thought, were both really, really good. And I even thought Strowman versus Mark Henry, just because it's Mark Henry and it's like two strongman guys.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, okay, wow, I could have seen that on like a low level pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like, that was a good match.
Yeah.
We had the debut of Emelina, and that was weird. So I thought it was actually like a couple things, like, you know, I'll put it this way. This could have been like a really slam bang 2 hour show.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a couple of like other moments. And then the continual booking of Roman Reigns is just absolutely bizarre.
But it's not bizarre. It's consistent with how he's been booked for the last 2 years.
Consistently crappy.
Yes.
So let's just run this down from the beginning.
Yes.
Stephanie comes out to drop a promo. Sort of tired of that. No, don't really need that. Roman Reigns comes out, says, I want Braun Strowman. I want him tonight. And she says,
She says no. She says, if you get involved, because Strowman already has a match. And she says, if you get involved in that match, you'll have no match with Strowman at Fastlane, and it might put whatever WrestleMania match we have planned for you against The Undertaker in jeopardy.
She didn't actually say The Undertaker?
No.
But yeah. So
so the club comes out.
The club comes out, and Anderson is sporting their new shirt. What do you think about that new shirt? Dude, it just looks like a Bullet Club fan-made shirt.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about it.
Yeah, it did. Come on, give me a break. Like, it's not.
It's better than the other one.
Yeah, it's, I'm not even going to say that, because at least the other one is its own thing.
Yeah.
This is simply ripping off the Bullet Club shirt.
But oh, I know.
With no shame to it whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
It's the upside down military insignia.
Yeah, no, I know.
That's what it is.
I know.
And it's like, dude, come on. You guys, because I don't know.
They should have replaced the symbols with two sweets. Because yeah, every week I feel like Carl Anderson has more two sweets on his pants.
Exactly. I don't know. I thought that was a job not well done.
Yeah.
But anyways, they come out. I still think they look like $1 million. They
got
those new tag titles look really good on the club. So anyways, they come out. They start talking shit to Roman, and they essentially say, and then Stephanie makes a match. She says, we're going to do a two. She said, in honor of the latest announced inductee to the Hall of Fame this year, Teddy Long, we're going to make this a handicap match right now.
Yeah.
And then she awkwardly uses some of his catchphrases. And so that led to Roman Reigns versus Gallows and Anderson. Guess what happened?
The club come in, beat him up, DQ finish. They set the club sets up Roman for a magic killer.
Mm.
Roman gets out of that predicament and then beats them both up.
Yeah, and then they go running away. They scurry away. Your tag team champions, who are supposed to be the guys who beat up other guys,
yeah,
got manhandled by one man named Roman Reigns. This is the kind of shit that I'm talking about.
Yep, this kind of stuff we've both been talking about for a long time.
How would Roman... Here's the thing. This could have been used to help get Roman over.
Yep.
It's okay to leave Roman lying in a puddle of his own mess.
Especially when he's beat up by two formidable opponents.
Exactly. The current tag team champions who are known as brutal, like, badass guys.
Yeah.
If they leave you laying, that's okay.
There's no shame in that.
You're one man.
Yep.
You know, but they insist on paying, fan service. Who is this servicing exactly? Who is this? Who is marking out for this?
I think just Vince.
I'm pretty sure just Vince. It's like that gif of him when he's all, like, coming in his pants something like that. I don't get this at all. I do not understand this at all. Like, how do they not know this is not, that's not how you get somebody over?
I know.
It's so weird.
I don't know.
Anyways. Then the New Day came out and cut a promo. Like, were they being dicks to Bo Dallas? Is that what's happening here? I actually missed this. I it was on the TV and I had it muted for some reason.
They came out and said they had blueprints for their ice cream. And yeah, they were kind of teasing Bo Dallas.
Okay.
And then Bo Dallas comes down and grabs the blueprints and rips it in half. It's actually kind of funny.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay.
And then Kofi and Bo Dallas have a match.
Okay.
Decent match.
Yeah.
Kofi wins.
Mm-hmm. Then I saw the New Day come in and they sprinkle Bo Dallas with some cereal.
Oh, they opened his mouth and poured Booty-O's down his
right
down his mouth.
Yeah. Which is probably worse than getting beat by Kofi Kingston, because Booty-O's was not the tastiest.
It's very sweet.
It is very sweet. Still sad that our review video...
The audio got all messed
up. The audio got cocked up. It was before we had all this sweet new gear.
It was a good video, too.
Yeah, it was a good video.
Real good.
Yeah, we did good. You guys missed out big time. Let's see here. Then we had a Neville interview. Did he say anything interesting here?
Not that I recall.
This was not on the Hulu version.
And then Jack Gallagher...
Oh, the number one contender?
Yes.
Yeah.
Entered frame.
Yeah.
They had a short back and forth,
mm-hmm.
Leading to Jack Gallagher taking on Noam Dar.
Oh, yeah. Who went over here?
Jack Gallagher.
Nice.
Winning with a running drop kick in the corner.
I love Noam Dar, man. He's
great.
Did Alicia Fox come out with him?
Yep.
Alicia Fox.
And after, after Gallagher picked up the win, Neville comes out. They have a stare down.
Mm-hmm.
Neville on the ramp, Gallagher in the ring.
Yeah. I want to fast forward to Mania. I really want to see Neville versus Austin Aries.
I know.
I don't know. Like, I just, a lot of good talent coming into the cruiserweight division right now. I'm kind of wanting to just fast forward a little bit. Like, I like Jack Gallagher. I think he can stay around. He gets my stamp of approval.
Oh, yeah, but there's no chance he's winning that belt.
Not a chance in hell. Zero. That is not going to happen at all. No, not a chance.
Next, we had the debut, finally.
Yes, after 17 weeks.
Of Emma Lena.
Yeah, she's so wonderfully awkward still.
So she comes out and she says, we've seen the evolution of Emma Lena.
Yeah.
Now.
The makeover of Emma Lena.
Yeah, and it's
Emma
now
Emma Lena.
We're going to see the evolution. She gets all kind of almost like sinister about it.
It was funny. It was kind of awkward because she comes out and she does the thing. She says, because she said in between the first thing and the last thing, she says, here I am.
I know.
In her amazing little awkward voice. I love Emma. So I don't know, like, what this is. Now it's going to be the makeover of Emmalina back to Emma. So,
but she tried to make it sound like
a little bit sinister. Yeah, you're
menacing.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think she's a really good wrestler.
Yeah,
and so I hope that they go like really dark with her or something. I don't know what they can do, but I think the
are we gonna have to wait another 17 weeks for that though?
I fucking hope not. That'll be annoying. She needs to be a mania in some capacity, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
that would be so annoying.
It was odd that that's the direction after so much buildup.
Well, dude, you know this was like I think this was a seed of an idea
that wasn't it.
Nobody
yeah.
knew what to do with. Yeah. And so it turned into an in joke, and that became the thing. And somebody said, "Look, let's just put her back to Emma. Let's make her a heel or some crap." I have no idea.
Yeah. I wonder if when she said the evolution from Emelina back to Emma. If the her trying to come off as sinister or menacing was just frustration, knowing, well, back to be on the sidelines for another 17 weeks.
Man, that could be. I don't know. Oh, man, I don't know. That would be sad.
That'd be a bummer.
That'd be sad if I was like, shoot, frustration.
Mm-hmm.
That would suck. Then Bayley gave an interview where she said Bayley things because she had in the main event, it was the big Bayley match versus Charlotte.
Yes,
yeah.
For the women's title.
That's right. Did she say anything interesting here? I missed like a bunch of this. I had to watch Emelina like at the. I know people in the comments. You guys didn't watch this shit. Well, he watched a lot of it.
And no, I watched the whole show, but I was kind of like doing work.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
So I didn't get the New Japan New Beginning episode.
Did Bayley
up this morning.
Say anything that I haven't heard before?
I don't believe so.
Okay, then it's not a big deal. Kevin Owens and Jericho were backstage, so tonight, of course, was the Festival of Friendship, which
yeah.
I thought was great. We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. This was interesting, though, because Owens and Jericho were talking backstage. Jericho's hyping up the Festival of Friendship,
right?
And Triple H comes up to him, and Triple H says, "Owens, come with me. Is that okay?" to Jericho. Jericho goes, "Yeah, it's fine."
Yeah.
Cuts to commercial, cuts back, and there's no audio over this, but there's Owens and Triple H talking backstage, and Owens has like a concerned look on his face.
Yeah.
Like Triple H just gave him some bad news. Or some distressing news, or told him something that he really didn't want to hear.
I liked all this, dude. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
because
I think without this segment, before the Festival of Friendship,
mm-hmm.
I might have been disappointed in how they broke up Owens and Jericho.
I know,
but with this involved,
as a little intrigue.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah. Well, we'll get to the Festival.
We'll get to
of
in
friendship.
A sec, yeah.
I have an idea that I don't know if it will happen, but I kind of want it to happen.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you on this one, and it goes to what we've talked about endlessly lately. All right, so then we had Strongman versus Strongman, Mark Henry versus Braun Strowman. I thought this was a good match.
Yeah.
I thought this was actually a really cool match because Mark Henry, they put Mark Henry over a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like they really made him look. This wasn't just Braun Strowman beating up on, you know, an older guy. This was, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Braun Strowman ended up going over, but not without Mark Henry putting up a good fight.
Yes.
And I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
This would have been a really cool match for Braun on a pay-per-view 5 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Foley, give me more talent or give me more competition. And then Mark Henry comes out. I was like, ooh, okay. So anyways.
Following Strowman's win,
mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns comes out because I guess he's not interfering in the match and thus he's not not going against Stephanie's wishes.
Yeah.
They brawl a little bit.
Yeah.
Strowman catches him, gives him a vicious running power slam.
Leaves Roman laying.
Yep.
As if a beatdown from the two tag champs wasn't enough of a beatdown. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Roman wasn't selling any
of that. Roman wasn't selling any of that, dude. I don't know, man. Is he wearing, like, full body Kevlar at this point? Like, and we just can't see it?
It's, like,
built in his skin?
Must be.
No good. Let's just do Roman versus Cena. Have we seen that before? Probably seen that before. I want to do it now. Like, will the world implode? Like, will the universe sort of fold in on itself if Roman Reigns and John Cena, the two most undefeatable guys...
Who do you think the crowd would be behind? I think it's Cena. Who do you think would pick up the win, though? Will they do a double pin so they both win?
Yeah, probably. Something like that.
And Cena would be the more over of the two, I would think.
Cena's generally pretty over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once he starts talking to the crowd, they get charmed by Cena.
Yeah.
It's just when he's in there and it's obvious that they're booking him too strong and he just wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's annoying. And then when he gets in there, he gets on the mic and he starts running on AJ Styles. I don't know. It's hard to read these days. The crowd is so split. Like, Roman Reigns comes out and it's like, yeah, boo. You know? It's like, you have no idea what the crowd's into.
I know.
And then it doesn't help. They probably cock with the audio. So then we had, let's see here, Cesaro and Sheamus and Bayley, this odd trio of best friends are backstage and they're hyping up Bayley for her big match. Enzo and Cass enter into the picture and Cesaro and Sheamus are like, You know, you guys messed with our match last night. You know, you guys just
last
being
week.
Down. Last week, sorry. You guys were just down there milling about.
And you cost us an opportunity to reclaim the tag championships.
Exactly. And then Cass is like, well, you know, Anderson or Gallo is one of them dudes.
Was messing with my friend, I had to stand up.
Mm-hmm. So after a relatively, I don't know, I was mildly entertained by this back and forth, I guess. Enzo was on one. They set a match for later on, and it was...
Enzo versus Cesaro.
Yeah, that's right. Where is that in your notes?
Further down.
Oh, God. What a long episode this was.
Let's talk about this next segment, because I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
This is amazing. I love Samoa Joe so much. My God, I can listen to that guy preach all day long. If Samoa Joe started a church, I am not a religious man, Larson, but I would go and genuflect to whatever God he's preaching about. That'd be great.
Do you think this was all scripted?
Shit, I don't know. Some of it felt that way,
but
just
it was
really
well
delivered.
The performance was delivered like expertly.
I don't know. It would have to, I mean...
Because I agree, parts of it felt scripted, but the performance was so spot on.
When he says words like, to sate your curiosity, I'm like, that sounds really eloquently worded. Like Triple H, either Triple H is writing this shit, or Triple H has a number one best writer in WWE writing for him.
Yeah, I know.
Because Triple H's promo kind of felt the same way. But then when Samoa Joe was in NXT, I feel like that was all his own stuff. And
I know.
This was probably Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
And when he showed up earlier.
When he pulled up in the limo with Triple H.
The limo. That looked awesome. Like, that looked. Meltzer actually had like a little blurb, a little story about the decision to put Samoa Joe in a suit.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
To make him look like a hitman,
because
right?
He does.
I know.
And he says, let's go to work. That was great.
I know.
He's like freaking Reservoir Dogs 2.0.
Michael Cole
did a great job, too.
Yes.
Michael Cole did a
especially
really good job.
Especially the end when Joe walked off.
Yeah.
Michael Cole really sold that moment really well.
Yeah, he did. So when it's, you know, it's the kind of thing you gotta see it to really.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's really good. But essentially, he breaks it down. He says, you know, if Seth Rollins does show up at WrestleMania, or if he does, you know, he says
he'll put him on the shelf again.
Put him on the shelf again, exactly.
And Cole brought up other people that Triple H has aligned himself with,
yeah,
and
like
how
that
he's
part,
more or less backstabbed them all.
Yeah.
And Joe says, I don't need Triple H to prop me up anyways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He says, I'm not his heavy.
Yeah.
Who uses that word? What a great word.
I know.
I'm not his heavy. This was really, really strong stuff. Between this and then Sami Zayn's Rusev match, it does look like that's what we're going to get.
At Fastlane, at least.
At the least Fastlane, at best, WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, also, Joe mentioned Sami in this interview, saying, mm-hmm. I'm not just happy to be here like Sami Zayn.
Like a guy like Sami Zayn, which was kind of like a throwaway comment. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And I wonder if they're going to bring up that later. And yeah, they totally brought it up later.
Yep.
Because after that was Sami Zayn versus Rusev. Hell of a match. I thought this was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
It was a haluva match.
Yeah.
See, I learned things.
Yes.
And Sami Zayn went over clean on against Rusev.
Yeah.
So that was
an interesting way to set up the haluva kick, where Sami is down in the ring. Rusev is coming back into the ring from the outside, and as he's going through the ropes, Sami hits him with the haluva kick, picks
out of
up the
nowhere,
win.
Yeah.
So Sami walks up the ramp, does an interview, and you know, takes umbrage with Joe's comments about Sami just happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's more or less saying that, Samoa Joe's music hits.
And as Sammy's looking at the ramp, he evidently doesn't have a great peripheral vision.
Because Joe came from around the announce table.
Yeah, exactly.
And laid him out, choked him out,
and
was talking trash the whole time.
Oh, yeah, it was great. God, what did he say? He said something great. I forgot what it was.
Oh, at the end he says...
What did he say?
When you say my name...
Yeah.
Say add respect.
Add respect. God. Does he just watch a lot of cool movies with like a lot of Scorsese movies or something? Because, man, there's so much great dialogue coming out of Samoa Joe's mouth. Like, I feel like, I don't know. We watched another Cassavetes movie last night.
Which one did you watch?
Death of a Chinese Bookie.
Oh, how was that?
It's probably my favorite one in terms of, like, it's a Cassavetes gangster flick.
Yeah.
With Ben Gazzara.
Yeah.
And there's like boo-boos in it.
Mm.
Who doesn't love all that? It was cool, man. It was cool, and it had like one of my favorite lines now. So Ben Gazzara, he's an owner of a strip club.
Yeah,
and the gist of the movie is he goes and does some gambling, some high stakes gambling, loses a ton of money, And then these gangster guys want him to go kill this big time Chinese gangster guy. And but when he goes to the gambling thing, he brings along three of his stripper girls to make him come off like he's a big player guy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So they're just milling about with him. Well, as he's walking towards to go try and pay his debt or at least settle and tell him, yeah, I'm good for the money. One of the other gangster guys says, do you always carry around that entourage of biscuits with you? He called the strippers biscuits. I'll start using that. Anyways, then we had Charlotte backstage.
Getting ready for her match.
Yes. So good for her. Akira Tozawa versus Aria Daivari.
Good match.
I like Daivari's music.
Yeah.
And the coolest part about Brian Kendrick.
Oh, he was on commentary,
has
right?
Sort of like anointed himself Akira Tozawa's mentor.
Yeah.
You know, like I think Austin Aries or Corey Graves pointed out, he says, I don't think Akira Tozawa knows that you're his mentor. And he says, well, he's working really hard these days. Brian Kendrick is great.
Yeah, he's so good.
He's so awesome. And I love this angle with him where he's just purporting to be Akira Tozawa's mentor.
I know.
But there's no acknowledgement.
There's no,
of
like, real relationship there.
Exactly. Oh, man. So that led to the Festival of Friendoship.
Yes.
And I thought this was really, really well done. This was the perfect way to end the bromance between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. And like you said, with a Triple H thing, I think that's what gave this the proper motivation.
Because the whole time Owens was doing what he was doing, he seemed like he had reservations about it.
Exactly. Like, he seemed like he was legitimately emotionally torn about what was happening.
Towards the end, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, like, he got into, like, a trance state.
Yeah.
Where it felt like to me, he had to emotionally remove himself from the entire situation.
Exactly
do
right.
Do what he had to do.
Exactly right.
And then he took his belt and just walked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was masterfully done. So Chris Jericho, very, very excited, very happy about this Festival of Friendship. He first debuts, Walter Guggenheim? What was it again?
Something like that,
Ridiculous, like, architecture artist name thing. And he debuted.
A sculpture of, like, two entwined people, essentially,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and he says, this cost me $7,000. And Owens, at first, wants to ridicule it. He's trying to bring himself to the point where he can hate Jericho enough to do what he has to do to muster this up. But he also sees that, man, this guy is my friend, you know, and he's doing all this for me. And he says, that's quite a steal, Chris. So the first thing, he couldn't, you know, he couldn't.
And then next was the picture.
Yes.
From the Sistine Chapel. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't he call it like the birth of Kevin or something like that? Yeah,
yeah.
Something like that. The creation of Kevin, something like that. And
Jericho says, you know, take this home, hang it up in your house.
Yeah. He says, I can't, I got kids at home, man. You're not even wearing pants in this because Jericho's bits are covered by, and so they move on to, oh, and then he says, well, I've got you this, you know, he says, I thought this, he says, oh, he says, I got you something else. He said, the real reason we're here. And then Goldberg's music plays and out comes Goldberg.
Before that, though, I think Jericho, it felt like a shoot. It was the most earnest, heartfelt.
Oh, well, no, comes out.
Owen lays him out.
Owens lays him out, and he starts laying into Jericho saying, dude, you know,
but Owens was saying, I thought you were going to bring out Goldberg so we can beat him up together.
Yeah, exactly. And Jericho said, look, I will be there for you. Don't worry about this. I have your back. I'm going to make sure.
But then he goes on and says, you know, this has been, I've had, you know, partnerships with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best chemistry I've ever had with anybody.
Totally felt like
and
a shoot.
It felt heartfelt, real. Earnest, and genuine, completely.
It was so great. And I love this. I love this next moment because it was the flip side of how we thought
things were going to go.
Where Jericho puts Owens on the list. And instead, Owens has a present for Jericho. He hands him, and Jericho opens it up. And he says, oh, it's a new list.
Yeah, mine's getting all beat up.
It's a new list. And he says, but why is my name on it?
And then he takes it out of the box. In the back, it says the list of KO.
Yeah. And then Jericho realizes what's happening. And Kevin Owens just completely lays him out. And it was fun. Like you said, he had that detachment on his face. And Jericho's laid out. And the medics attend to him because he gets beat up pretty bad. But the look on, because Kevin Owens, he rams his head into like the TV. Because he does the monitor.
He gave him an apron powerbomb.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Rolls him back in the ring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Puts his head through the Geritron 6500, whatever the latest model is.
Yeah. But the look on Jericho's face is not just one of physical pain, but it's emotional pain too. Yeah. Like, it was just really, really masterfully done. And so that leads us to think, okay, well, Triple H has some plan in mind.
Let's speculate.
Owens is going to retain at Fastlane.
Yeah. See, at first, because I read about this segment happening before I watched the episode, and there was no mention of the Triple H segment before it. So I thought to myself, oh, okay, they're breaking up Owens and Jericho, so mm-hmm. Goldberg can win at Fastlane. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely seems like maybe now Triple H has a plan in place. Maybe Samoa Joe will interfere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some burgeoning faction of Triple H, Owens, and Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the end game of which is for Triple H to get the Universal title off Owens and onto Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the direction they're going in.
Yeah, that would be, it'd be pretty shocking and pretty awesome if they did that. Like, mm-hmm. I really want to see. Here's the thing. Like, we've heard for, you know, a month now that Goldberg is going to win the Universal title. That's what he's going to fight Lesnar for at Mania.
Yeah.
And I simply don't want that to be the case. Like, I want some twists and turns. I want some, like, within the pay-per-view itself, I want some twists and turns mm-hmm. because we haven't really had a lot of that.
Mm-mm.
And so that would be a lot of fun. We're staying away from the betting odds, right?
Yeah, at least when it comes to doing our prediction video, for sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with that. I'd rather, because like I like the whole the aspect of us getting creative with things instead of just,
I know.
Oh, let's see what info has leaked.
I know.
Bunk. And for our viewers as well, like they're out there if you want them, because they seem to be very accurate.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just want to act like they don't exist.
I know.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of interesting to see the final odds and see how it matches up with what actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, it's been pretty much exact.
Yeah.
Which kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, there were times...
Like somebody mentioned this before.
The Hell
in
a Cell match, the main event where Sasha was still, towards the very end, was mm-hmm. the favorite. And then...
Yeah.
You know, Charlotte ended up winning.
Yeah. I don't, I'm tired of it, man. Like, I don't want, the Bray Wyatt title win should have been cool. And instead it was, okay, they executed their plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's partially that, the betting odds, and it's also partially the fact that we are so tapped in.
Yeah, I know.
To all the rumors that are going on right now, because we have to be.
Yeah, I know.
That there's very few surprises.
I know, exactly.
Because a lot of stuff leaks.
Yeah.
And you read about stuff well in advance of it happening.
Yeah. It's just a drag.
So we got to find a happy medium between staying informed and mm-hmm. letting ourselves be surprised.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see here.
After that, they cut to commercial, come back. Mm-hmm. Jericho's getting loaded into an ambulance.
Right. Then we had
Enzo versus Cesaro.
This I actually didn't see. What happened here? Cesaro go over, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, you had to think about it a little bit.
Yeah, Cesaro did the...
Either Cesaro went over or Cassia.
He pushed Enzo up and did the European uppercut.
I love the pop-up. I love the pop-up European uppercut. I love that move. That's great.
Yeah.
Looks great on 2K17, too.
Yeah, it does.
Let's see here. Then we had Charlotte and Sasha backstage. I don't know why Charlotte did this, but she, like, you know, was poking at the bear, mm-hmm. Sasha Banks. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually thought that with Charlotte giving Sasha some shit about, you know, her being a loser, whatever. I thought that might have been some backwards motivation for Sasha to prevent Bayley from winning the title, because I thought for sure that this was going to be maybe a Sasha heel turn.
Well, this is all because we've read about it for a couple weeks that they have a Sasha heel turn in the works.
Well, also, I mean, there's that. I've actually been pretty skeptical about that.
Yeah.
Until they started teasing it on the show,
mm-hmm.
where she said, "Bayley, leave me alone." Like, you know.
Didn't she say something like, "I take losing harder than
you,"
or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe Sasha's going to be like, well, if I can't have it, you can't either. But instead, what we got was Bayley versus Charlotte. Hell of a match.
Yeah, good match.
They put on a really, really good match. There was a couple of really, really cool spots here. Bayley ended up going over. Dana Brooke came in to interfere. Bayley was able to ward her off. Then Sasha Banks came down to take her out.
Yeah, hit Dana with the crutch. Mm-hmm. And then while Bayley was in the figure eight, hit Charlotte in the chest with the crutch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Leading to Bayley hitting Bayley to belly.
Yeah.
Picking up the pin, new women's champion.
I love that. Number one, I love that they booked the Bayley to belly so strong. Mm-hmm. I really love that. And yeah, again, it's the kind of thing where I have to separate what my preconceptions are about why they're booking things a certain way from just simply enjoying the moment, because this was a great moment.
Yeah.
You know, Bayley won the women's title. That was fantastic. Idea of Charlotte them having to protect her pay-per-view win streak bugs me a little, because it's like, okay, well, that's where you're just sort of, unless they make a really, really, really big deal and sell that a lot leading up to Mania. In terms of Charlotte.
Well, I'm sure they will once Charlotte reclaims the title at Fastlane.
Yeah, which has to happen, right? Like, they're going to, and so that really needs, starting from Fastlane to Mania, they're going to have to really, really make us question whether or not they're going to end the pay-per-view win streak there. I kind of feel like if they just extend this pay-per-view win streak, it's just going to, this can't go on another year. This can't even go on until SummerSlam. Because then every pay-per-view match is going to be predictable.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, and also, like, every time the women's title is being defended on Raw, if Charlotte has it, not every time, but there's always the chance.
That's always where she loses it. And she's,
especially if it's pretty close to a pay-per-view.
So at Fastlane, she's going to end up being, a five-time women's champion? That's a lot already, you know? And at a certain point, it starts to get cartoonish, you know, with the pattern of booking in this title. And so I like this, and I'm fine with Charlotte picking it back up at Fastlane. At Mania, the streak has to end.
Yes.
Like, this can't be a fucking Undertaker thing.
I know.
You know, I don't need 5 years of this shit. Pay-per-views are kind of the place where titles are
Supposed to change hands.
Typically supposed to change hands. But I don't want to take away from the match itself for the moment, because it was a really, really fantastic match. And I'm glad that they're pulling the trigger on Bayley and seeing, you said this off camera, seeing how the crowd responds to her as champion, and see if they can really get the most out of it.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what she can do at WrestleMania. That should be fun if they do the Fatal 4-Way. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they pull the trigger on a Sasha Banks heel turn prior to Mania or after Mania.
To set up a Bayley-Sasha feud.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I could see that being a huge development on Raw after.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, all right, man. We talked about Raw. That was a really, really exhaustive Raw recap there. Let's answer some questions.
Yes.
We generally pull our questions
in advance, but not now.
The Patreon. Well, I was just going to tell them,
sorry.
From the Patreon.
Usually we have them on our notes, but we didn't do that this time.
Now we're going to go from the most popular.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do.
First one, Haven Elric. Who has the worst moniker / nickname in the WWE currently? Haven Elric, for one, cringes whenever they call Roman the Big Dog.
I actually don't mind.
I don't really like when they call him the guy.
I don't like that more than the Big Dog. Dog's fine. Dogs can be vicious. Or they can just growl at Larson a lot like mine does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's another crap nickname?
It's not crap, but it really doesn't fit the character right now.
Okay.
The Lunatic Fringe.
Yeah, I know.
He's just quirky.
He's
not crazy.
I know.
He's just quirky.
He's just funny. Yeah. Hamza Halal. I love this question, I love this question. Who would win in a presidential battle royal? Hamza has his money on Teddy Roosevelt. Well,
Abe Lincoln was a wrestler, wasn't he?
He was an actual wrestler. Apparently he was a pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
So I like the Teddy. Here's my problem with the Teddy answer. Is that, from what I understand, Teddy Roosevelt had a very interesting life. But Teddy also manufactured a bit of that, because he had some money. Because he came from a decent, well-to-do family, I think. And he, you know, purchased a cool outfit and some guns and had pictures taken of himself. And that was his original calling card. And I'm not saying that him and the Rough Riders weren't cool.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of manufacturing going on with Teddy Roosevelt. I'm not sure how hardcore he really was.
Yeah.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I would think Abe, but I'm trying to think of others as well. You know what I would think? Don't sleep on Ulysses Grant. Don't sleep on U.S. Grant, man. Grover Cleveland, big Yokozuna type. Big dude. Don't sleep on him.
Same with Taft.
Same with Taft. Yeah, Taft. Yeah, Taft also. Trying to think of some other hardcore guys. Let's see here. Kennedy had a bad back, so
yes.
I kind of rule him out.
Yes.
Let's see here. Who else? Wait, so who did... Oh, that was Hamilton. Burr killed Hamilton, right?
Yes.
Okay, so
Hamilton was never president, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was just Treasury Secretary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Burr was vice president.
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to think of other, like, hardcore guys. Sort of it's escaping me right now, but I like my answer. I should have just stopped at Ulysses Grant and then Taft in Cleveland. Should have just stopped there.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
What is it? I like this answer, though, because like a bunch of people answer this question. Truman seemed like he can kick some ass, really? I don't know, man. I mean, I know he dropped some nukes, but man, I don't know.
Next, Rosa Mendez fan club president, Terrence Thompson. What segments?
Ooh, Eisenhower. That's a good one, too.
Sorry. What segments, excluding CM Punk's pipe bomb, can you recall being executed as masterfully as the Festival of Friendship?
Oh, man.
The two Evolution segments where they turned on Randy Orton, mm-hmm. and then when Batista turned on Triple H.
Of course, there's the classic Rock Sock.
This
is your life.
This is your life
segment.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Let's see here. Yeah, those are all good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything like I even forget where it was from. But I feel that GIF that I used to post the link to this on Twitter when Austin's swimming in beer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When he had the beer truck.
Yeah.
And when Angle had the milk truck.
Yeah. But I don't know what the one was when Austin.
He just, yeah, it was like after he was celebrating in the ring, there's a bunch of beer around. He was swimming in a really shallow puddle of beer. It was hilarious.
Fucking great. God, I love Austin. Empire of Filth official creamer. Apparently, there's something called the Empire of Filth in our chat room now. Jefferson. Do you feel as though this year's Mania has been half spoiled already by the loss of dream match potential and giving away some of the fights early, like Cena, Orton, and Bayley Charlotte? I don't. Here's the thing. I'm not going to be pessimistic yet. Not there yet.
I'm not going to be pessimistic. I mean, the matches that have been booked.
Ask me again after Fastlane.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for some matches, they missed out on some opportunities to have some really great moments, whether mm-hmm. it be Cena Undertaker or having Cena tie Ric Flair's mm-hmm. record during the main event at WrestleMania against AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, like having Bayley win on Raw last night was great,
mm-hmm.
but it would have been such a huge moment for that to happen at Mania, for her to get the title for the first time on that large of a stage.
Yeah.
That'd have been awesome.
Yeah, I know.
So. We'll see how things shape up following Fastlane and then ask us then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Let's see here. The undisputed losingest friendo, James Johnston. First time patron. Thank you, James. Let's see here. For my question, assume everybody is available. Not sick, not injured, whatever. The WWE instigates a mandatory tag team clause and all brands must redraft. Who would you pair together and where would they go? So now the WWE, so we're saying the WWE now is exclusively tag teams.
All tag teams.
All tag teams. He says he would pair Regal with Gallagher and Kane and Finn. He just likes that they have similar
outfits. I'm going to pair Braun Strowman and Austin Aries.
Oh, I like that. Why would you do that?
Seem like it'd be make an interesting pair.
Yeah, just so that they could do what do they call that road show? The where they're on the road.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because yeah, like, I'd like to hear them
road
talk.
Trip.
Road trip. Yeah, there you go. I would pair Baron Corbin and it's a redraft. Can be anybody. Baron Corbin and and the Bollywood boys. It'd be a trio. And he would just like bully them a lot. He would just give them, it'd be wedgies all day long. But then Mojo Rawley would be there too. And he'd be trying to like to be the peacemaker.
Yeah.
And also he'd be like trying to have them party all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mojo would learn the actual Bollywood dances, not like the watered down version the Bollywood boys do. I'd love to see a Bollywood movie with Mojo Rawley.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Magnum TA champion Nathan Raglan. What's the best promo you've ever seen? Let's take the pipe bomb.
Out of it. This first answer here on the Patreon thread here, the Macho Man's cream of the crop. Man, so good.
I know.
So much great Macho Man.
Like, I know.
He was just so entertaining. So it's hard. That one. I mean, Dusty Rhodes, Hard Times. I'm trying to think of something a bit more.
Flair's had a bunch.
Oh, man. You know, I forgot to mention when the segment question, like what segment went off perfectly? Live sex show. Because you literally got to see A, Lita's nipple.
Yes.
And B, Edge's, like, heart, like he had to like straddle this line, so to speak, of being like erect, but not erect.
I know.
So like he had a bone, but he wasn't like raging.
Yeah.
And I feel like he had to put a lot of concentration in that because he's like, man, like I can't go all the way with this.
I know.
Because it's on TV.
I know.
But at the same time, I can't look like I'm soft because this is a live sex show.
A lot of complexity to that segment.
There is so much complexity there. There's a lot going on. And then Lita's like, I just don't want anybody to see my titty. Oh, my titty's out. good promos? I don't know. You know, I didn't like this one. Somebody mentioned this on the thread, too. The Rock's Get the F Out. When Austin walked out, when he said he took his ball and left it, I was like, screw you, Rock. You know, I like Austin. And they wanted him to job to Lesnar on a non-pay-per-view episode of Raw.
On Raw, yeah.
So screw you. I'm with Austin on that one. Honestly, Austin, whenever Austin opened his damn mouth,
it was great.
Fantastic.
Great.
It was great. Empire of, again, this Empire of Filth, women's champion, Nicole Ninevold. What's scarier? Shibata in your closet or Suzuki under your bed? This is a really deep question. This is a really good question here. Shibata in your closet is terrifying because, like,
you go to your closet, you go pick out some pants.
Time
you wear
to start
for the
day.
So you go in your closet and there's Shibata.
Which version of sweatpants or track pants or basketball shorts, like, today do I want to wear? I say, oh my God, it's Shibata.
It's Shibata.
And in my mind, it's like his music starts playing and
it's all serene.
And it's black and white. And then there's like a little tiny text near his body. It's like bleeding into his body. It's Shibata.
And then he starts dropping forearms on you.
And he goes like this. And he hits him and does it again.
Yeah.
And then you hit him, but it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, because you're crap.
But then again,
yeah.
Say you have something under your bed. You want to get out, and you go, and you look on your bed, and there's Suzuki.
Yeah.
And terrifying. He's ready to put you in a knee bar.
Yeah, or worse, like, you're just trying to get some sleep, and then you hear something rattling down there, and you're like, ah!
And you turn over to look to see what's going on, and he hits you with a knee.
Or he again, he
yeah,
puts
then
you
he,
in a
then
knee
he gets
bar.
In the bed, and then puts you in a knee bar.
Yeah.
I would say Suzuki under the bed, because that, you know, he could attack in your sleep.
I agree totally. At least Shibata.
You walk
I'm
into your closet, you have a moment to react before he starts dropping forearms
on you. Exactly. And I'm just assuming that if, hey, I just keep my closet door closed, I'm good with Shibata.
You know,
it's just, hey, don't go in there. Bama, don't go in the closet. Shibata's in there. You know, Shibata's going to start laying into my kid.
Yeah.
Alabama, stay out of the closet. There's a Shibata in there. He's a very stiff worker. pre-cum yay or nay champion Wayne Dorsey. Before I answer this, Larson,
what, you know my position,
yay or nay, man? Pre-cum yay or nay?
You know my position. I answered this question like a month ago.
Second time patron here. I've rejoined the friendo community after being repackaged by WWE creative. His question is, how did Joe seemingly overnight go from mob hitman to Debo from movie Friday, using catchphrases as "you about to catch these hands," "say my name," "put some respect on it," and my personal favorite, night. I didn't get that at all. Debo is kind of cartoonish. I did not take Joe as being cartoonish. He's scary. Debo is scary, but Debo is also kind of cartoonish.
You got hair in your mouth or something?
Yeah, I had a hair in my mouth.
Okay.
Shibata put it there. Scary. Very scary. Let's see here. Empire Filth's official footstool to Asuka. Skin trade McLaughlin.
So it finally happened.
You guys are getting very creative here on
the
Patreon.
Owens turned on the GOAT, turning against yet another of his best friends. If it happened after Kevin losing his title because of Jericho's help, which would have been far too obvious a turning point in the relationship, I don't think the impact would have been as big.
Mm-hmm.
So, his question is, will Jericho now make sure KO loses a strap at Fastlane to help the mighty Goldberg?
Goldberg.
Or will he be trying to get Kevin back as a friend?
Here's the thing. He has a good point here. I agree. I agree that this shouldn't have been just because Jericho messed up and Cost owns the title.
Yeah.
I really like that. I like that Triple H pulled Kevin Owens aside and
said, involved in some capacity.
I have an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah.
And there was some... Kevin Owens did a masterful job of...
showing reluctance.
Yeah, and conflict. So I like that. His question is, will Jericho now make sure Kevin Owens loses the strap of Fastlane?
I don't know. There seems to be potentially the potential for a lot of moving pieces in this match.
Yeah, I know.
You have whatever Triple H is conspiring over here.
Mm-hmm.
You have Jericho. There's always a possibility that Lesnar could get involved too.
Yeah.
To cost Goldberg the match.
I kind of want Jericho to just step back and let the pieces fall where they may, because I think it would be awesome if Kevin Owens, how great would this be if he ended up being like a punk, like if Triple H's motivation here is, I gave Kevin Owens the world and he turned it into a joke by aligning
exactly.
with Jericho.
Exactly.
Now I'm going to manipulate him by telling him I'm going to give him the world, or I'm going to let him keep the world. And so Kevin Owens effectively will lose his belt, lose the one thing that was true to him, his best friend, and will be left with nothing.
Yep.
Left in ruins while the rest of the world moves on. And Jericho is standing there saying, this is what you lost, and I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
I think that would be fantastic. I don't want to see Jericho trying to get involved to try to get his friendship back or blah, blah, blah.
I know. It'll be interesting to see with Jericho being put in the ambulance last night,
mm-hmm.
you know, assuming kayfabe-wise he's injured, if he shows up on Raw the next few weeks leading up to Fastlane,
right.
if he appears on Fastlane at all.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll all be interesting.
Andrew Wormley, good question. How much of Jericho's speech do you think was from the heart?
Oh, that part
everything that wasn't necessary for story was from the heart.
Yes, the whole part about chemistry and having the best run of his career.
Yeah.
That was 100% genuine.
Absolutely.
You could tell those guys are genuinely really good friends.
Yeah, no, you can tell.
Seth Ferguson, if he had to change anybody's entrance, who would it be?
Oh, the Vaudevillains.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat, the Vaudevillains. I'm still not sure if that would help them that much, but it would certainly be a start. I can't think of anybody's entrance like that overwhelmingly handicaps them as before they've even walked out.
I know.
I'm sure there's another.
It's an entrance that worked fine in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Does not work in huge arenas.
No.
Does not.
No, not at all. You know who's got the best entrance, man? Freaking Ascension. I still love their entrance.
Yeah, it is.
You know? Their music
really
is
good.
Their
Ascension.
Music is good.
Sorry, a really good entrance.
It is a good Ascension.
A really
they literally
good Ascension.
Ascend into the screen.
They do.
Number one jobber, Alex Ponce. You can read this one.
First time question asker here. Do you think KO turning on Jericho kind of came out of nowhere? We knew it was coming, but it came without any kind of reason. The Triple H segment backstage.
Yeah.
That's what will eventually... That will make sense of it eventually.
Yeah, yeah. Empire of Filth Ambassador. Hey, friendo. Friendoverse. Jason the Cabbie here. Most mellow guy we know. So the club coming out at the top of the show reminded me how much I just hate their music due to it sounding like a terrible Audioslave track. It's like the third Audioslave album. Which in turn reminded me of Billy Kay's bad ripoff of the Diva in the Fifth Element.
Oh,
that's funny.
That is funny.
Yeah. What other entrance music is a terrible knockoff of other better written songs?
There were a lot of themes in WCW.
Oh, my God.
That were obvious ripoffs.
That wasn't even close. It was like
Diamond Dallas Page's theme was Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
It was maybe one chord different.
Wasn't Raven's like Even Flow or something?
No, his DDT was called Even Flow.
Yeah,
but I think it was similar to another...
Like a different Pearl Jam track?
Another grunge song. Yeah,
another grunge song. I forget what it was. But yeah, DDP's was completely and totally like obvious.
Somebody else's song was a ripoff of Even Flow, though. I don't think it was Raven's.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I'm trying to remember what it was.
That's going to bother me.
Yeah, me too. Let's see here. Moving on. I thought Ravens was a ripoff of something. They had to change
it. Yeah, I think
it.
So. I'll check. Go ahead. All right. Ask the next question.
All right. Next question. Triple Nate. Oh, I like that. That's good. It's not Triple H, it's Triple Nate.
That's good.
As I have just upgraded myself from Robert Hay to Triple Nate.
Oh, sorry. Raven's theme apparently was a ripoff of Come As You Are, the Nirvana song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember noticing that as much as I noticed DDP's.
Oh, yeah, because DDP's was
DDP's
obvious.
Was completely obvious. Yeah. Let's see here. So Robert Hay, a.k.a. Triple Nate, is wondering who you thought had the most success after a gimmick change and also who had the least success. The uninvited ghost here said points out two pretty obvious answers. Husky Harris and Isaac Yankum, of course.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt and Kane.
Yeah.
Who
had the worst?
Austin's was pretty bad. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Pandastoli says Austin. And Cena. I actually liked Cena's. I mean, if Cena didn't have a gimmick when he came out, he was just John Cena in, you know, spandex.
Yeah.
And then he was the Thugonomics guy, which got him over. I actually really liked it. He was hugely over. I like that stuff. Austin, of course, was the ringmaster when he came to WWE, anyways.
Yeah.
He was the ringmaster.
And then,
that was cheesy.
And then
as hell.
He got repackaged as.
This is the ringmaster.
So apparently, it was one of Chris Jericho's themes that was very much inspired by Evenflo, apparently.
Oh, okay. I don't really remember. I remember that he did have that. I don't remember much about it, though.
I don't either.
DDP's was just, again, so bad.
Yeah.
Let's see here. TJ Empire of Filth's muscle. With all this talk of Roman Reigns going heel, it got me thinking. There is another top babyface we all want to turn heel, and his name is John Cena. So his question is, which heel would you mark out harder for, Reigns or Cena?
Cena.
Yeah, it's got to be Cena. It's been so long.
Yeah.
I would mark
Reigns,
out
Reigns. My attitude would be, well, it's about time.
Yeah, that's true. Cena would be like Hogan level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's see here. Jack, because Cena could get some real heel heat.
Oh, yeah. Jack Dolan. Mm-hmm. The Mega Pals explode. That segment was great and had a lot of meaning in every gesture and facial expression. If Steve and Larson were to turn on each other, how would you do it for the most dramatic effect?
Oh, man. We kind of like did a little bit of that during the lead up to W Steve W and Fun Wrestling. Some people thought that shit was so real.
I know.
I was actually, here's the thing. And I don't know, you guys paying attention right now can get like a little bit of the backstory here. None of that shit was real.
It was all a work.
It was all the lead up where we were bitching at each other on camera on Fun Wrestling, where he was trying to make it brand safe and I was getting pissed off. All of that work. And that was largely like your brainchild. I think we had the same idea, but every week I was just like, okay, what do you want to do now? Mm-hmm. So I was very proud of you for coming up with a lot of that stuff. But
you know, we didn't write anything. It was like, this is what's going to happen on the show today.
Yeah.
And then we just improv.
My favorite part about it, though, was that one of our mutual friends, dating back 20 years, pulled me aside at one of our friends' birthday parties, and you couldn't make it. He said, is everything okay with you and Larson? Like, my son was watching your show, and he said, Dad, come here real quick. They're fighting. And I was like, man. Like, are they really pissed off at each other? Like, this is a dude who knew us for 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But the answer to the question, shit, I don't know. Like, if we were to book like a breakup, if you will, of us, I don't know.
The uninvited ghost here has a response saying that you physically forced me to too sweet. How about this? I start too sweeting everybody but you.
Oh, no.
And you take great personal offense to that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. I'm the kind of guy, I'd just be happy to see you two. Like, I would have been, like, the fact that you did, in fact, too sweet AJ Styles, I was geeked out over it. Like, I was legitimate. I don't care if you do, but you, of course, you're going to too sweet the WWE champion.
Well, I mean, there's no evidence that ever
you're
happened.
You're absolutely right. But in my periphery, it was clear as day that happened. So I don't know if that would be the way to go. Because if it's an extension of me, I would totally be happy with it.
How about this? You're in your kitchen. You're making, say today.
Oh, we're pulling from reality.
A hamburger for lunch.
Yeah.
You got the butter in the saute pan.
Don't do that anymore.
You put the burger in there. I come up next to you and say, hey, Steve, what are you cooking there?
Yeah. Yeah. You pull a Sin Cara on me.
A huge stinky fart.
15 years ago.
Right next to your
burger.
Boy,
I got pissed off at that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I would do? I would just like I would be Triple H and Hilton would be my Samoa Joe, and I would just expose you to him more, and I would bring you back to that place you were at, that party.
Don't remember that at all.
That party we were at the old house 10 years ago. And I've never seen you so mad in your life. I've never seen you that mad.
I don't remember that at all.
So pissed off at Hilton. I don't even know what he did, but he was laughing, being typical, like, annoying Hilton.
Yeah.
You're pissed.
Boy, I don't remember that at all.
I've never seen murder face on you. You had murder face.
I don't remember that at all. Not at all.
Let's
skip around a little bit. We got kayfabe we got to do still, too.
All right. Two more questions. Two more good questions.
Oh, this is good.
Okay.
James Rodriguez, if the two of you had your own festival of friendship, what would you do for each other?
Oh, I like that question,
that's
too.
That's a great question.
Flip side of the last one. We'll make this the last one. Make this the last question. What would we do? Well, it would kick off. I would have a couple podiums, and I would say, you know, we've been best friends for a very long time. We've been through the trenches together during our entire, you know, our whole career. Been on this little island over here. We've been through ups. We've been downs. Things are really good right now. And I would do what you did for me at Christmas time. I would unveil the most immaculate, spectacular set of Jordan 5s you've ever seen. I would have custom Jordan 5s made from Nike with, like, going in raw embroidered, like, picture of our faces on it.
That'd be good.
But, like, really well designed.
Yeah.
I'd be like a really cool combo artist to, like, do that.
Yeah.
Like the most pristine.
That'd be really nice.
Of Jordan 5s.
See, like, one thing I would do is back when we were in college, you used to get care packages from your family, and there used to be brownies in there your dad made.
Oh, yeah.
And then so myself and our other roommate, when there was one left, we would go and just break it in half and eat that half.
Yeah.
But we never ate the last little bit. Yeah. So by the time, like, you would get home, there'd be a little piece of brownie left.
It's worse, man.
So I would find the finest brownie maker in all the world.
Oh, well, yeah.
And make you a football field size pan of brownies.
That's
to make up for that.
Yeah. Well, I would appreciate that.
So you'd be set for brownies for life, essentially.
The funniest thing about that, before we get to Kayfabe Corner, the funniest thing about that was, yeah, that pissed me off big time. But the greatest thing was, so, like, yeah, my dad would send me brownies. My grandma would send me these things that she called conga bars.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good. I got to learn how to make them. She's dead now, so I'm not sure that's going to happen. She would also send me these peanut butter chocolate concoctions called Chewies.
Mm-hmm.
Chewies are trash. They're garbage.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
They would get in your teeth. They didn't taste particularly great.
Yeah.
They were no conga bars.
Yeah.
One time I come home when I think the three of us are living together, you, me, and Big Jim. And Big Jim is essentially performing cunnilingus on this massive brick of Chewies. And he's into it. And he's got the, like, remember he had a lazy eye when he would eat? And you know it was really good if he got his lazy eye going? And he was just eating it like he was making love to this thing.
Yeah.
Like he was about to fuck it.
Yeah.
And I walk in on him, and he gets this look like I caught him jacking off. Or like I caught him making love to something. And I look at him with the most disgusted look on my face. Like he picked up the nastiest piece of bar strange at closing time. And I said, "You're eating Chewies?" Like, it was so, like, that's what you're eating?
Yeah.
This is disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we throw away. That's what I use for a doorstop.
Yeah.
And he was like, And he had this look of shame, like, knowing that I just ate this disgusting thing. Anyways, ready for the greatest trivia challenge ever?
Kayfabe Corner. That's funny. What is Kayfabe Corner, Steve?
It's only the greatest wrestling trivia challenge ever in history. Names real, names fake.
Two trivia questions.
So some of these names I done made up. Some of these names are real. Let me email these to myself really quick.
Okay.
So that I can look at them.
I will avert my eyes.
My phone.
I will not.
Where are we right now? So I picked up an extra point after the fact
because
Jimmy Preston was real.
Yeah, because he wasn't a real wrestler back in the era of which I was researching, but I guess he's a wrestler now.
Correct. And there's the possibility that in my subconscious psyche, I had seen his name for real.
So anyways, you got an 8.
I got
I think you're up
8.
4.
I'm up four, and that is after we're tied up in terms of number
yes,
of games
we have
played.
Yes, you have a 4-point advantage head-to-head. Everything's even.
Okay, sounds good. Here we go.
Okay, what's the theme this week? I saw what the mm-hmm. candidates were. It was Emma
yeah.
and Bailey, correct?
Yeah, and after about 5 minutes of votes, Emma was winning, so I just went with Emma. If it turns out Bailey won, I'll do Bailey next time.
Okay.
So our people get their vote counted. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Number one.
One.
Jetta.
Can you spell that?
It's like the car.
Fake.
Real. Number two.
Two.
Cat Power.
That's real.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I think I've actually used that before now that I think about it. Tennille Valentine.
Real.
Fake. She actually did go by Tennille, Tanya, yeah. and Valentine,
yeah,
but never
I knew,
together.
I knew Tennille was one of her former names.
Madison Eagles.
Real.
Very good. Sounds super fake, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Ideal Canadian.
Oh, that's real.
Yeah. You know who that is?
I don't remember, but for the name.
Lance Storm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dalla Cole.
Real.
Fake. Penny Lane.
Real.
Very good. Shaza Troy.
Fake.
Good. There is a Shaza. I forget the last name, though. Teddy Bong.
I mean, it seems like it should be fake. I'll say fake.
It is fake. Why hasn't somebody gone with the name Teddy Bong yet? Lila Lodge.
What number is this?
This is the third from last.
Okay, so 10. Real.
Very good. Where are you at?
Oh, 7.
My goodness gracious. Queen Spinelli.
Fake.
Very good. Kelly Skater.
Fake.
Real.
Oh.
Where are you at?
8.
8? My goodness. Okay. One of these you should get. The other one, I'd be surprised if you got.
Okay.
But it's always possible. Number 1.
1.
Emma's debut NXT match came against Audrey Marie. What current WWE star is Audrey married to?
I'll say Luke Gallows.
Your fashion police!
Really?
Tyler Breeze.
Hmm.
And finally, the second trivia question. What was the name of Emma's cooking show on YouTube?
Wow.
I figured you'd either totally know this or totally wouldn't.
I vaguely remember it.
Okay.
Emma in the Kitchen.
The Taste of Tennille.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, what'd you get?
8.
8? Son of a bitch.
So I'm up 4.
You're up 4. However, we still have one episode. Like, I have one more to go.
So we have even rounds.
As long as I get 8, I'll be back up 4.
Exactly.
Correct. Anyway.
But if you only get 4, we're tied.
That's like the lowest anybody's ever
gotten.
Yeah,
I know.
And I'm on a roll lately. I've been doing good.
I think we're both on a roll because we both have seen so many of these names.
We've exhausted a lot of these. Like Cat Power, you're like, oh, yeah, I know that. And I even now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I think we did that before, totally. Because back then it was like, okay, well, we know she's a musical act.
Yeah.
Did somebody commandeer her name? Yes, they did.
Yes.
Anyways. All right. Anyways, that's it for Going in Raw. Thank you very much for hanging out. We're going to do a bonus episode for
correct.
Our patrons right now. We've got 60. Oh, sadly, it's not 69. It is 67 people watching right now. I want to say thank you to everybody out there watching. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.